Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Movie Mondays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything they do with film. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Oh. Sean, how's it going?
Best pal, I'm upgraded to best pal.
My best acquaintance, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean,
I ruined it. I'm good, sir. Thank you very much for having me on today.
It's a pretty big week, as for some reason we had like 4 trailers drop this week.
Yeah, like all at once after having a trailer drought for the last few weeks.
I don't even know why, really. Like, I mean, Christmas is coming up. It's weird that they dropped them now. But you know what? They're kind of already getting set for 2023. If you haven't seen any trailers, we're going to do a review of 4 of them this week. That's the most we've ever done.
Usually one trailer would be a headline for a show.
It would be. But we had to cover a few of them. And if this is your first Movie Mondays, if you could give us a like and review, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, it would really help us out. But Sean, I don't even know if we have time for to even discuss things right now, because I don't really care about your life.
No, but okay, well, I got these new dishwasher tablets. That might be of interest.
What did they do?
They're the Finnish. They're the, like, black ones. They're fucking class, man.
Black, that's how you know it's good. I've got it.
Yeah.
It's called, like, titanium on the packet.
Oh, yeah. It's branded like Lynx Africa, but it cleans your dishes. It's great.
Just a load of people following dishwashers around the place. Oh, fuck.
That was a weird advertising campaign that they did in the 2000s.
And it never worked.
Never caught on, weirdly enough.
So, Sean, we're going to get straight into it. And we're starting this week with a trailer for a movie that we weren't excited about. But the trailer has come out and I really wanted to grasp where you were now.
Because okay, this doesn't narrow it down at all, by the way.
I know, we're not excited about most things. Just so I can jump it, right? So, I mean, the movies, they were in the 80s, Sean.
It's Indiana Jones 5.
Cocaine Bear, no, we'll get that later on. But Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny trailer was released this week, Sean, showing a de-aged Harrison Ford up to a romp on a little adventure, fighting Nazis. What did you think of this trailer?
It doesn't have any of the charm of the original Indiana Jones, though, does it?
Because
it doesn't look like... Because everyone on the set of the original Indiana Jones was tired and miserable. And that really came across in the characters.
And they were probably on a lot of cocaine and cigarettes.
It was the 80s, of course they were. But this, it looks like... Do you remember Dwayne Johnson's Journey to the Center of the Earth?
That is so harsh.
I get similar vibes in how this film looks. Even.
You know what? I don't want to say it, Sean, but I watched it and I went, it could be a romp. Now,
no, Connor, that's how they trick you. A romp is not enough.
Now, here's the thing. I said that about number 4, and he does meet aliens in that movie, and it is terrible.
Which, let me raise another point with this trailer.
Yeah.
Is that one of the bits is that Indiana Jones says, I don't believe in magic.
I have that written down. It's the first words you hear in the trailer from him.
Yeah. And it's, okay, first of all, he saw an ancient religious relic burn the face off a man.
Yeah, that was actually like literally his first day on the job. Like, his first day out.
A group of, well, actually, Temple of Doom takes place canonically before Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Sorry, Jesus.
So, I'm just saying. It's in Temple of Doom, though, he saw a man pull a man's heart out of his chest, and there was all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Third one, the Holy Grail turns a man to dust before his eyes.
He found the Holy Grail, and he's still like, you know what? I'm not too sure this fucking weird stuff. I'm more of a scientist man myself.
His father was shot and he gave him a drink from a cup and he got better.
Yeah. There's some sort of medical logical reason for that, Sean.
And then the aliens, Connor.
The aliens is really where I was like, Harrison, let's just, Indiana, we're going to sit down here now. And I mean, also the line he says after that though still doesn't make any sense. He's like, he says, I don't believe in magic. But then he starts going into this, like, he does one of those Jaden Smithisms where he's like, it's not the job that you do that makes you, it's what you makes you makes the job.
Yeah, it's like, I don't believe in magic, but a couple of times in my life I've seen things that I can't explain, and maybe it's our job to not explain it or something like that. Like, something equally asinine.
And everyone's just like, and I listened to it, I was like, that sounds pretty good, but if I think about it for even maybe 5 seconds, that falls down almost immediately.
Yeah, and I like, what does this Indiana Jones have to offer to an audience or to any romp with any stakes involved in it?
So here is the issue, right? That the fact that this movie's getting made, probably a bit of a mistake, just in terms of, I mean, it doesn't need to be made. They do like money. Indiana Jones is a popular name and they want to bring it back. And Harrison Ford is determined to kill off every character he's ever had, which you gotta respect. You gotta respect that.
That's true. He's going on the farewell tour of iconic characters.
One by one, killing them off. But like, if we just look at the trailer itself, and like, I tried to come in with none of the baggage from like knowing what happened before. And I just watched it and I went, it looks like something that would waste 2 hours on an afternoon. You go to the cinema and that's why I'm using the word romp, Sean. It might pass time at Christmas.
Wow. Is that where we are now with
the last one is so atrocious. If the next one is like, put it on the TV around Christmas time and we might sit down and watch it, I think that's a higher standard.
I would rather watch the first three Indiana Joneses.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Than watch any new ones.
But that still doesn't change the fact that this movie's coming out. We gotta watch it.
Yeah, well, look, it very well might not come out, Connor. And look, up until the Batgirl cancellation, I was like, oh, but it's finished. Surely they'll put it out.
There's nothing that's going to... he misses adventure, Sean. That's what causes this plot to kick into gear. He misses going back. Or maybe he misses, you know, just the feeling that he got when he was running away from a boulder, looking a bit scared.
Yeah, like, what does he miss about it exactly? Because he seemed, a lot of the time, quite content with his job as a professor, you know?
So why doesn't he just keep... I will say, Harrison, what did you think of the de-aging?
It's actually quite good. Now, the thing about it is, I feel like there is a lot of existing footage of young Harrison Ford as well.
So that also dressed in a very specific outfit that they could use in this movie.
Yes, exactly. So it's not like... And we only see it really for, like, up close... For kind of a brief clip in the trailer. I wonder how it looks in motion, because that's where that falls down a lot of the time. Like, that, do you know, Pirates of the Caribbean 5, they de-aged Johnny Depp.
Yes.
And it's like, the face is just slightly off and it doesn't move quite right.
It's one of those where you can put it in a trailer because you only need maybe 2 seconds. You just need 2 seconds of it and then you can move on. Over maybe half an hour of the movie, we don't know if it's going to hold up. But from what we've seen, looks pretty good, the de-aging. Harrison's looking well for his age anyway, so, and they have all that old footage, so put them together, might look pretty good. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is in this. She's excellent, Sean. Maybe she can turn it around.
Maybe. She is fantastic. That's true. She's his goddaughter in this? What's going on?
Or else they're just making up that story at the end.
Oh, maybe. I didn't even think of that yet.
Because she says something different. He says goddaughter, and she says we're not related, or like... I don't know what she says, but it's not specifically the same thing.
Right, their story doesn't line up, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. But then he pulls out a whip. He brings a whip to a 17 gunfight.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that's kind of a charming scene, Sean.
Oh, it's a little callback to the one we liked before, isn't it?
And look, I'm going out on a limb, Sean. I'm saying James Mangold from Logan is too talented to not have this be a romp. Right? He's dragging it to Rob status, kicking and screaming.
Weren't audiences really unhappy with this, though?
They were, but I've just scored off what I've seen here. And I'm saying, James Mangold, very talented. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, very talented. Harrison Ford, very talented, also willing to kill everything off. I'm putting them together. There's no logic to what I'm about to say, Sean, but I think this movie could be passable.
But you have high hopes.
I wouldn't say high, but I have more hopes than I had, which I, going into it, was like, I'm never going to like this. I think this might be bad.
But here's the thing. James Mangold also made The Call of the Wild, that film that had a man playing a dog.
But I mean, he also made Logan. So is Logan his last movie?
Ford vs Ferrari. That's pretty good.
That was up for a few Oscars.
Showman. Logan.
How many Oscars has he won in the past three movies?
Awards and nominations. He won for Girl Interrupted, he won for Walk the Line, he won two for Ford vs Ferrari. He's got two BAFTAs. He's doing pretty alright, I suppose. But he also made Night and Day with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz.
Ah, yeah, but look, you're allowed one. Also, that was back in the time of, like, what was that, 2010, 2011?
It was 2010,
like,
yeah.
2010, yeah. Like, that's peak Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz. Let's just make a movie.
He also made The Wolverine, which I think is better than people give credit for.
But surely it fuels my point more than your point.
Yeah, no, I've talked myself around, actually, just by listing off this.
I think he's too talented for this to be bad. He's just got too many Oscars.
Yeah, but people with Oscars can make bad things. Look at Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I understand that.
Look at James Cameron.
Yes, but he's been on such a run. Like, even his last four or five films in a row, that I'm like, he must know what he's doing.
Oh, man. Todd Phillips has an Oscar.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, you're right. Fuck heck. Yeah.
They're just giving him out, Connor.
He ruins everything. Every argument I have.
He's the outlier and should never be counted.
This is coming out next summer, by the way. June 30th. Next year. So, I'm not looking forward to it, but more positive than I was half an hour ago.
I feel we shouldn't have to temper expectations.
I think it's the fifth one in a series where the fourth one was so terrible that if it's just fine, fair enough. Sean, we're moving on to our next piece of news, and it's about Mr. Jimmy Gunn. Now, James has been busy. We have news from his pet project, his child, later on, from a trailer. And that is going to be our big story of the week.
Ah, of course.
But you look at me confused, but he's got one really big movie that he does mostly.
He's got his finger in a lot of pies, though.
Now he does. But his original love, Sean.
Of course. Slither,
of course. But James Gunn has confirmed more plans for the DCU, as he's now the head of it. And he's confirmed more standalone stories set outside of the DCU could be taking place. For example, Joker or the Batman.
Right. Okay. So, wasn't this the plan 4 years ago, though? That they were going to focus on, like, when Joker came out and was very successful, they were like, okay, We're going to make more films like that in the hope that people see them.
Well, yes, but then they did the thing of where they just completely counteracted what they wanted to do and they got really confused and they didn't have a plan.
Ah, pulling a DC, as we call it.
It a pulling a DC? They had lots of strings and lots of ideas and then decided, ah, fuck, we'll do half of all of them and that'll be good enough.
We'll give, I don't know, John Cena a TV show.
Why not? It's pretty good. Come on.
It's pretty good. Sorry. I'm not taking a piss. I'm just saying.
It's pretty good. But yeah, so they are obviously doing standalone projects. But he also came out a few weeks ago and was like, everything in the DCU is now connected. What they're aiming for is across the board, films, TV and animation. They want everything to be connected, even video games, that it's all on the same canon. And so, of course, people then question, like, well, what happens with the Batman then? Or Joker? Or any of these standalone things that you're doing that aren't connected might just confuse people. But James has now come out and said that they won't be going away. There's now going to be there's even some more projects taking place in other worlds outside of the DCU. So he says some, which to me implies they might have one or two. He's not planning on like another 10 or 15 projects, but something's in the works.
Yeah, like it could be. And it's like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like, oh, your mainline DC Batman, Superman stuff. Like the way they have a Sandman TV series, technically a DC character, not connected to any of the DCU stuff. But the idea that I'm still not sold on the idea that everything should be connected in the DCU, but I like how they're separating it as like, no, we can still do other films, but the DCU stuff will all tie in together.
But I do think you have to go that hard. I understand where he's coming from, him and Peter Safran, because if it was so jumbled and so fucked when they arrived, like everything's just everywhere, all the files are just all across the floor. So he's just like, right, we just have this one big file that we're going to put all of the stuff in, into this one thing. And you have three random things over here. But everything else is connected, not to confuse everyone. Like, there's not just 10 different projects now. There's only two. You're either part of the DCU or you're not.
Yeah. But all I want is for them to give, like, make a 15-minute YouTube video about what's canon in the DCU at the minute.
You know what's funny? I don't think they know. I think James Gunn and Peter Safran at the minute are sitting down and trying to work that out.
They're putting that together.
Yeah. They're trying to logically figure out, okay, well, if we keep this, then we have to get rid of this. And if we keep get rid of this, then that has a knock-on effect to this thing. So what are we going to do?
Yeah, I suppose. But like, I want that sorted out and I just want that published. And then just so we know where we stand. And then when they announce something coming, we can be like, okay, here's how that might link in with this.
Yeah, I think we're probably jumping the gun. He's probably waiting until the new year. Especially, I'd say he probably knew the Guardians trailer is coming out. Like, there's going to be a lot of press related to that, especially because that comes out next summer. So over the next 6 months, there's going to be a lot of press tours. There's going to be a lot of everything.
The Flash
just
will be coming out as well.
Sorry?
The Flash will be coming out
as well. The Flash is going to be coming out as well, maybe, at this point. But they probably will send James on that press tour rather than Mr. Miller.
Themselves.
Miller, so, like, yeah, Ezra is not going, I would say. If they do, then James will probably come along too. To be like, I'm going to sit in on a few of these.
I mean, it would make sense, though, as like the head of one of the heads of DC Studios to be like, oh, this multiverse film? Yeah, I have a hand in it.
Also, I think it takes some of the heat away from Ezra.
Yeah, that's going to be an odd press junket once all that starts.
So
what if
it gets
pushed back again?
Oh, I hope it does.
Just keep pushing it back forever.
I bet James Gunn hates it. He's like, no, let's just cancel it. fuck that.
Let's get rid of it.
So, I mean, what comes from this then is you have a whole bunch of things all connected, and now you might have just Joker and the Batman as the only two things that aren't connected. And I think that's a much easier way of doing it, but it also means there's going to have to be a lot of cutting in terms of the DCU being like, they're out, we're hiring a new actor to play them, or someone new to play them.
Yeah, like various, you know, characters might have to be reintroduced, or...
And say none of that stuff happened. The stuff that happened to them didn't happen anymore. That's out.
Yeah, it's not canon.
Henry
Cavill's still Superman. He might have died already, but we're
like,
not
it's
sure.
A Crisis on Infinite Earths scenario.
Where they just, like, pull the plug and just, like, draw a line in the sand and say, like, no, this is where this ends, and now it's something new.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never seen that done in film, so I'm really interested to see if they can do it, to be like, if people in, like, who go to cinema, like, if you read comic books and they go, it's Crisis on Infinite Earths, all this stuff is just... There's some things that have stuck on, some things that haven't. People get pissed off. Like, there's, like, the New 52 absolutely killed, like, Tim Drake, one of my favourite characters. When the New 52 came in, they, like, squashed it all together. So, like, Batman was only there, Batman for 5 years, but he still had all of the Robins. So, like, time-wise, Tim Drake was only Robin for, like, 7 months. And it kind of made it, like, less, and it kind of impacted the character, because he was, like, Robin for, like, 30 years. Previous.
Yeah, and he didn't have the same growth. The character, the way they were written then, didn't have the same growth and same experience.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But he kind of did.
Yeah. So he did. So we remember it, but he doesn't remember it. So then I've never seen that done in film. How do you pull that off without confusing the fuck out of everyone?
Yeah. It's not a perfect movie by any means, but I think No Way Home kind of rebooted Spider-Man in a way that actually made sense in film for the character, improving on the way they did it in the comics, which is that he gave his marriage to Mephisto, and that's how it happened.
Yeah. But that's like a 1 in a million shot that you pull that off.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man.
And but look, DC are due for a win, you know.
They eventually have to win once at something. So Sean, we're moving on to a movie that I think was made for us. And I had so many people tweeting this to us over the week, tagging us and things. This is, of course, Cocaine Bear. The trailer came out. Sean, a movie that I don't know how it got made is the main thing.
Yeah, it feels like the motto for producing this was just, but wouldn't it be funny if we talked about this?
So Elizabeth Banks is directing it. And if anyone doesn't understand what we're talking about, Sean, maybe they haven't seen the trailer, maybe they haven't heard any of the news. Could you explain Cocaine Bear and how it became a movie?
So a few years ago, a bear came across a stash of cocaine. I think it's a black bear or a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
One of the best bears. came across a stash of cocaine, ate a rake of cocaine, and for a few minutes was the apex predator on the planet.
they were transporting cocaine across state lines, and in a plane. It fell out of the plane. It just like one of the packets of cocaine fell out of the plane, landed in this fucking wildlife park, and a bear just happened to come across this random package. So the bear doesn't understand. It just rips it open and just sniffs and eats a shit ton of cocaine.
Loses its absolute mind. Went on a little rampage. And then you know, the bear ingested a lethal amount of cocaine. But then someone saw this and decided to write like a schlocky horror movie script around that story.
And what was amazing was we were like, what a dumb idea, but also there's no way this is going to work. Like, there's no way this is even going to get made. And even when it got announced that Elizabeth Banks, very talented human being at, like, acting, I think she directed the No, did she direct the Power Rangers movie?
She was in Power Rangers, but she directed Charlie's Angels, I think.
She did, yes. That was it, yeah. But, like, she's really, really talented, but did she get signed on as director for Cocaine Bear? And me and Sean were kind of like, this gag has gone on way too long now. What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, how much funding is being allocated to Cocaine
Bear?
It has
to have, like, a budget of, like, 10 grand to be, like, even getting going. But this trailer, Sean, looks pretty good.
It looks like I mocked the word earlier. Looks like a fun romp, you know.
It does. It looks like a bear who's eaten a shit ton of cocaine and just goes on this gory, just killing spree where he's just like indestructible because he's just full of cocaine.
Like, and it seems he's much more like active of a threat. Like, it seems he's actively hunting people.
Yeah, look, I think that in terms of the real life, didn't really work out like that. In the movie, it does make it even better that, like, just this cocaine has all been ingested and the bear is now, as you said, the apex predator and just wants to just wreck shop. It's just, its eyes are just massive and it just doesn't know what to do with all the energy that it now has.
Yeah, so it's just bloodthirsty. I did like the bit where the kid was in the tree and he was like, bears can't climb trees. Like, yes, they can, you idiot.
Loads of people die, by the way, in this movie.
Oh, yeah, it is a bloodbath in this. Yes. Also, it was filmed in Wicklow.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, it was. Which is here in Ireland.
Yeah, it's wild. It's so, you know.
I think it's one of Ray Liotta's last movies as well.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Alden Ehrenreich is in it? Which is with Kerry Russell, isn't it?
Character actress Margot Martindale is in this?
Yeah. O'Shea Jackson Jr.? They're all here, Sean.
I mean, it's one of those ones where I'm nearly positive this won't do well. But I'm so happy that they made this. Like,
it's one of those where I think it could be a cult classic. I think, like, the fact that so many people were tagging us in this trailer to be like, this is a weird news story that has become a movie.
Yeah.
It's the perfect
blend of the two shows, really.
It is. And also, I feel like we had to cover it. But if this does make money, we could get even stupider and crazier ideas. Like, the fact that Elizabeth Banks has come out and said, like, they learned the true story. And then they decided, we should make a movie that is the bear's revenge story. So that's what this is.
That's hilarious. I looked it up and the bear is actually on display. Like, they put him in a museum. And it's just like, here's the bear that ate all the cocaine that one time.
Like, the vibe I was getting from this was like Sam Raimi or like even a James Gunn. Like, you have really gory, horrible thing, but like dark humor. Like, it's actually quite funny as well, even just in the trailer itself.
Yeah, and it's also like it is a little bit gruesome as well. It's a really strange mix.
Yeah.
But that's coming out in February, I think.
February 24th, yeah.
So around about the same time as Moonfall came out. You know, so we every year we just have to pick one
every
February
year we have a better
movie.
A better and better. Now, Moonfall might be the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
It's irredeemable, I think, that movie.
If anyone hasn't heard our Moonfall review, we recently did it in February of this year. Have you heard of Moonfall? Sean, what's the plot of Moonfall for anyone who doesn't know?
Moon is the enemy. Moon is falling out of the sky. People are confused. Sam from Game of Thrones tries to recruit an ex-astronaut to go up and fight the moon.
You fight the moon. They do.
It's that's what they do. I don't know what else to say.
We're not lying. That's the plot of the movie.
Well, and then there is something in that movie that comes out of absolute nowhere.
And it's aliens. Yeah, you're dead right. It is aliens.
There's aliens in the moon. Yeah,
there's aliens in the moon. Obviously, there's aliens in the moon, Sean. I love the idea that the fact that they're just like, the moon's fallen and we have a few weeks, but up until then, everything's going to be fine until it makes contact.
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer, but everything's fine right now.
And we were just like, if the moon even moved an inch, like, we're all dead.
And like, there's a bit, I think you brought it up, where the floods are coming and they're in a hotel.
The whole city's been flooded.
Yeah, and Samwell Tarly can't swim and so he's like has to be saved and they're like gasping for breath on the stairs. And the next scene is them waking up after sleeping in the same hotel.
They do. There's a big monsoon. All the water flooding in. They're like, ah, time for an old nappy nap now. This is, I'll sleep it off. That's the only way to bypass this.
The moon scrapes the top of the Rocky Mountains and then goes back into the air, and the Earth is somehow still habitable.
People are still breathing. It's absolutely fine.
Michael Pena gives up his gas mask to save his daughter, and then 30 seconds later, the oxygen is turned back on.
I forgot so much of that movie.
No,
the bit with the gas mask is great, because there's a whole... I would, like, this is just a 30-second review of the worst movie we've ever seen, and it will win Worst Movie of the Year at our awards in a few weeks. But the fact that there's a bit where Michael Pena's like, I take this gas mask, go on without me, and it's like this big heroic thing, and the door runs like maybe 20 yards.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then she's in safety. She's like, oh, everything's good.
Like, she could have held her breath. Like,
Mike, you could have ran. She's right there. You can still see her.
You could have both made it. It would have been fine.
Oh, man. We're moving on to our next piece of news, Sean. And it is also Cocaine Bear. Are you seeing it or not seeing it?
Oh, I'm seeing this. We're seeing this.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go together. So, Sean,
we'll do
we're
starting. Cocaine before it.
Always, brother. A regular thing for any movie.
It's how I see every movie.
I see The Notebook. I was very confused.
Schindler's List was a wild ride.
Just sitting there vibrating, but also crying a little bit.
Yeah, it's a tough watch.
Sean, we're moving on, as this isn't really news, but it's something that I feel like might start a bit of a chat, because Antonio Banderas came out this week, and he was kind of just talking about Zorro.
Oh.
And the legend of Zorro, and if he would ever reprise the role. But then he also said, if they do it again, I would love the fact that if they started a new franchise, he actually had someone in mind who he would like to pass the torch on to.
Right.
And it's someone we know very well, and that is Mr. Timothy Holland.
Timothy Holland playing Zorro.
So Antonio Banderas has endorsed Tom Holland to star in a Zorro reboot.
I don't know if it's the best choice.
So they worked together on the Uncharted movie, and Antonio Banderas is in that chewing scenery just as the villain, and Tom Holland is obviously all action hero, but in this scenario, Antonio Banderas thinks that Tom Holland is the perfect replacement for him as Zorro. The issue with this is he is Zorro, so he's got some, like, he does have some clout,
but also I feel like Antonio Banderas might just know one young working actor because he worked with him.
Or the, he's like, it's either Tom Holland or the kid from Spy Kids.
Yeah, the kid who played Junie Cortez in Spy Kids.
They're the only two people he knows.
He knows two children. The other one is like an adult now, but whatever.
But he was a child when Antonio knew him. So.
Oh, he was a child in the past. Yeah.
In the past. We were all children in the past, Sean.
I don't know. I don't know if Tom Holland is a Zorro kind of type. Like, because Zorro is like this swashbuckling, like, crusader against, you know, for justice kind of a deal. And I think Tom Holland, maybe it's just because of the Spider-Man thing, but he's more, you know, a guy doing his best as opposed to the super confident
I heard this, and also we should mention that they did mention, or they did talk about doing a reboot earlier on this year. There was various reports that Zorro was being rebooted, with them even coming out saying this was going to be a Zorro for this new generation. So
it's on TikTok.
And it was going to be involved with TikTok, if I remember correctly. And then Banderas, I'm not joking, I'm pretty positive TikTok was involved with it.
Oh, that's insane.
But Banderas was to get a cameo in, obviously, the new reboot, which you would normally do, or he could be, like, the mentor.
Yeah.
But, Sean, I don't think Tom Holland is cool enough to play Zorro. Now,
no.
I don't want to be mean to old Tom, because I think Tom's a lovely man and I think he's very kind. But the person that he is, I think he's better played as Peter Parker than he is as Zorro.
I think it just suits him more as a, like, I don't think he's that kind of, he's a good actor, but like, I don't even buy him as Nathan Drake.
No, I don't think he should be Nathan Drake.
Because he's just, I don't know what it is about him, but maybe it's because I've seen him since he was like awkward Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And then I just always associate him with that. But he, like, he doesn't have, you know, the Zorro quality, the Z factor, if you will.
The Z factor? Isn't that the thing from World War Z?
Just maybe it is actually.
What is the Z factor then? If we want to get into it, like if Tom Holland isn't cool enough for the Z, then what is the Z factor you're looking for, Sean?
It's just a certain. It's a roguishness.
If you will.
A roguishness, I would say.
Yeah.
Someone cool, collected. Pedro Pascal would have been good a few years ago as like a younger Zorro.
That's he might have made an outfit that.
Now.
Barry Keoghan.
We can't give it to. I don't even think Barry has the Z factor.
No, I don't think. And look, we'd cast Barry as anything, and even we wouldn't cast Barry as Zorro.
We'll give Barry any job that's going.
I'd love to see Barry in the Uncharted movies as Nathan Drake.
Honestly, maybe. Who's your friend from Caspian? He plays Caspian in Andor.
Oh, Diego Luna.
Yeah. He'd be a Zorro.
I mean, he could play Zorro. But I think he's like the boring choice. I think if you got to go out there if you're going to do it. And also, I think they want to go younger if they're going to cast Zorro.
But Zorro's meant to be like... How old is Antonio Banderas in Mask of
maybe
Zorro?
Maybe like 29, 30, maybe?
Okay, so like, I'm just going to Google 30-year-old actors.
30-year-old actors that can play Zorro.
Cole Sprouse. How about Cole Sprouse?
He's too American. And Tom Holland is too British.
That's true. Taylor Lautner?
Isn't Taylor Lautner's wife also called Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, her name was Taylor and then something else. And then
I remember reading that. That's so cool, but also confusing.
Barry Keoghan is in his 30s, that's true. Who else do we have? Who's the kid? You haven't watched Ted Lasso, have you?
No, I actually haven't.
The guy who plays Danny Rojas in Ted Lasso.
Oh.
I think he'd be a good Zorro.
What about Jared Leto?
No, I would have to say to that one.
But think how bad he could do it. Think how terrible it would be.
The stuff he would put everyone through, he would carve his ease
everywhere
on that set.
Everywhere. Is this a Z or an N? I don't know.
And you could also do, Zorro is like, the inspiration, you know, like that kind of character is the inspiration for Batman in a lot of ways. So you could just get Robert Pattinson to do it.
Do them both.
Double up.
Yeah, why not? I just don't think we're ever going to be able to, unless you cast Michael B. Jordan as him, but that's definitely not happening.
Michael B. Jordan would be a great Zorro though.
Michael B. Jordan would be a great everything, Sean.
He'd be class, to be fair.
He would.
Connor.
Yeah.
Fassbender.
But the big Irish head in him, though. You couldn't have him
in. He's got the mask and the hat. It'll be grand.
He's a big Irish head in him. That I don't even know how to describe, but only Irish people know the big Irish fucking head.
Oh, you can spot him from a mile away.
If you're on holiday, there's a big fucking Irish lad down there. I just know.
I just have a fucking sixth sense for him.
He's normally in a GAA jersey. That's just out walking around in shorts and very red, even if it's in the winter.
And here's the thing, even if you sense or you see a person with a big Irish head on him, you are also a person with a big Irish head on you.
Yeah, because you recognise, game recognises game.
Game recognises game, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get across.
We're moving on, Sean, to our next piece. I just wanted to have a discussion about Zorro and see if we could find a better casting. But maybe Tom Holland is the best one.
I think he's the most boring choice that you could pick.
He's the most bankable one though as well.
That's true. Yeah, we'll see.
What about Tom Holland, Zorro, Zendaya as Catherine Zeta-Jones role?
I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, it would sell, is the thing.
You're in.
I'm not saying I'm in.
You'd make 400 million before it even got a trailer, I'm telling you.
Get Denis Villeneuve to direct it.
That man doesn't miss.
That man has never missed in his life.
Have you ever seen his filmography? Like, or it's just like, if you go through his last like five films, everyone's just like, oh, these are all just the best movies ever.
Just win after win after win.
So we're moving on, Sean, to our next piece of news. And it is a trailer for a movie I know you're super duper excited about. That is the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I love voice acting.
We got a full trailer for the animated adventure this week, Sean, with Mr. Christopher Pratt leading the voice cast, absolutely just putting his all in, whispering into the mic as he does it.
Just really putting his own voice into it. Just his own regular voice for the most part.
What I will say is Bowser sounds amazing. Now, that's Bowser just because he's Jack class. Black.
Yeah, Jack Black can do anything. Give that man any role he wants in Hollywood ever.
I think Anya Taylor-Joy sounds really good as Princess Peach. Charlie Day is good as Luigi, so it's really just...
Great as Luigi. It's really just Chris Pratt stands out like a sore
It just stands out. What did you think of the trailer, though?
It's all right, honestly. Like, the film looks... It looks Mario enough to me. Like, it's close enough to be Mario. It's very Minion-y. Like, it just...
I was going to go Lego Movie. It's a very Lego movie.
I get that. Do you know what it reminds me of? And the character, like, design of Mario, which I don't know if this is on, like, because do you know Fix-It Felix from Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes.
He looks like just a reskinned Fix-It Felix. It's the eyes.
Ooh.
They don't have the Mario, the big fucking eyes.
Yeah. But you know what? Watching it, I was like, if I was like 10... I think I would really like this movie. I obviously it's not for us.
No,
so
that's true.
This is one of my least favorite things. Like when people like our age come on, like, this movie sucks, man. I'm like, it's not for you, man. Like, just chill out, like it. But if you've got a younger sibling or like someone young in the family, maybe a cousin, they might really like it. So you don't know. From watching it here, I was like, this looks. You know what? It looks watchable. It's not bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not. It doesn't look like the Emoji Movie. Like, it looks like it's a story set in the Mario world.
If the Emoji Movie is one end and the Lego Movie is the other end, this could be like somewhere closer to the Lego Movie on the scale.
I think so. And hiring a celebrity to do the voice just so you get their name on the poster. That's maybe not the best thing artistically.
But you can't hold that against the movie's quality in general.
No. He does a decent wahoo at the end, I will say.
I did like the bit with the Mario Karts. It's an easy win. Just have a scene where they're all in cars on Rainbow Road. And it's like, cool, I know those things. I understood those references.
I think Charlie Day sounds quite good as Luigi. Mm. I hope there's a lot of like... him and Bowser playing off each other, because it seems like he gets kidnapped at one point.
I think he's the damsel in distress. I think he's the one that's kidnapped.
That's great. That's
perfect. And people are like, Princess Peach is now just like, I think she's just the leader of her own country, or like her own, and then she's like, I'm joining you, Mario, this journey. I think that's why I get the Lego Movie vibes, because they're like, you're traveling through different worlds, and Chris Pratt plays a character and he doesn't really understand what's going on, but he's got to save the universe.
I forgot Chris Pratt was in the Lego Movie, actually.
Yes.
Man, really disappears into that role.
It's pretty good. See, the Lego Movie was back before everything, so I think like it was under the radar.
That's true. But it just he was just a Lego man. He wasn't, like, most iconic video game mascot of all time, Mario.
I suppose the plot of the movie, if you were going to base it off of, you would go towards the Lego Movie. That's the one with the most success over the last 10 years of any of these movies. So, I mean, why not try and base it around that? And then you also have the Mario name. So if you can even just do it, like, Mario is bigger than the Lego, I would say. As a name recognition, but then it's pretty close. That's two of the fucking heavyweights.
They're big going, powerhouses, both.
Like the two powerhouses. So, like, they would be as well known as each other, maybe. So, I mean, lean into it. I like the idea of, like, you have the references to the games, like, him fucking up, things disappearing, him falling down. Like, have a few those scenes. I hope the plot is as good as the references.
Yeah, it seems like he's inexperienced. It seems like he gets a little training arc in this movie. Like, maybe he's never...
And then Peach is the one to train him.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Which is the plot of the Lego movie, but also now it's Peach and Mario instead.
Look, Connor, you can't... Just because something is exactly like the Lego movie, you can't just go around saying that it's the Lego movie.
And he's got to hop between dimensions.
It's the Lego movie, isn't it?
And he's the only one that can save them.
Yeah, he is. He's destined, but he's just an ordinary guy. What can he do?
He's just an ordinary plumber. What can he do? You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I watched the trailer. I was like, this could be good. Also, found out the directors, Aaron Horvat and Michael Jelenic, are the same directors from Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And I love Teen Titans Go to the Movies. It's a ridiculous movie that's very funny.
Right, okay. So it's ticking a lot of boxes then. So it might be... Would you rather see this or Indiana Jones 5?
Poor this.
Fair, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't, but then I seen the lads over Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I was like, that movie's so underrated just in terms of being funny. That, like, it's funny for kids, but also there's so many jokes in that is just, like, really funny, just in terms of comedy, that I was like, maybe this could have the same vibe. Maybe there could be bits in this that have, like, the same energy around it, which would be pretty cool. So we're going to move on to a small little piece of news before we get to Guardians. And, Sean, I think this might be my favourite headline we've had for quite a while, because there's a little movie called Avatar coming out.
Avatar 2, The Shape of Water.
The Way of Water. The biggest movie of the year, I can only assume. Like, everyone's talking about
giving it that title. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about you can't walk an inch without hearing something from it. But James Cameron this week was saying, like, obviously, he's got two done. Three's already done, four's basically done, five's done, and then he's thinking to himself, he also turned 68 this week, so he's like, I might not have all the time in the world. So he came up with a plan, Sean, because James Cameron has come out and said this week, he will need to train someone else to helm Avatar 6 and 7.
Jesus Christ. Because we all wanted to continue, definitely.
I just love that confidence.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock it out of the ballpark for 2, 3, 4 and 5.
I think he's fully just testing how far he can push it, though. Like, he's just like, surely if I say this, someone will call me on it.
But he's James Cameron, though. The thing about that is, I think you get to a point where he's so successful that nobody in his orbit is like, James, the second one hasn't even come out. We don't even know if it's good. Why are we planning 6 and 7?
Yeah, and... Why is he... I mean, yeah, I guess he's planning for his own death as well, which is kind of grim. But, like, would you not prefer to just let the art exist? And if people wanted to continue, that'll happen, you know?
Or you just tell them you're doing 7 and it basically gives them fatigue before you've even done any of them. Ultimately, maybe destroying your own movie that you were planning to do. Because if I tell you, Sean, if you watch this movie, we've got 6 more lined up. If I tell you that, you're probably less likely to be interested than if I just watch one. And if you like it, we'll make another one.
Yeah, it's like it colours your experience and it colours any review that movie is going to get. Based on the fact that, there's another half dozen of these to come.
So he says they'll also probably finish movie 3 regardless because it's all shot. So, I mean, it's all already kind of done. For Avatar 6 and 7, he plans to be 89 by the time they come out.
Man, imagine we still have to put up with James Cameron in 20 years.
Same mad shit at 89. But he has to train somebody else. How do you train someone to do Avatar 6 and 7? Surely it's a poison chalice, Sean.
Who do you give that to? What director in Hollywood would want that job?
Like, if someone who's like 7 years old now, that he's like, he's the next big thing.
He's made him in a lab to be the perfect.
He's like, made a clone of him.
He's cloned himself, basically, but he's given himself weird fish arms so he can go underwater.
Perfect. My dream. So, Sean, I know you're looking forward to Avatar 2. Now we've got Avatar 6 and 7, even looking for a director.
I mean... Plan ahead all you want, I guess.
I've actually never heard of a 6 and 7 of a sequence of a franchise looking for a director before the second one is even out.
No, that's a brand new thing that's happened.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty all right. Do we have to watch Avatar 2 for this show, or can I skip?
I'm kind of still up in the air because I have my mental health. And I don't really want to go. Like, I don't want that day where I'm like, I have to go see it now. But at the same time, it is probably going to be the biggest movie of the year, and I think we probably should go see it.
I think it's going to flop.
I think that'll be funnier, though.
But do we want to contribute even 20 quid to their box office?
You want to pick up some sort of like cinema pass card, just pay the €16 a month or so, but then so you don't give him any money.
Yeah, I'll pay for a ticket to like Banshees of Inisherin or something, and sneak into Avatar 2.
Is your local cinema listening in? Get him.
Keep an eye on him.
So we're finishing off this week with the last trailer, and that is the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We had our first look at this movie that Like, it's probably the most anticipated movie for the next little while anyway. And, I mean, having seen the trailer, Sean, you've had a look at, what are your initial thoughts? This is our first kind of glimpse.
I think it looks very good. No, I think it looks pretty good. Fair.
I knew you were lying because you couldn't not watch this trailer and be like, that looks pretty good.
It looks like a Guardians film.
Yeah.
Which is, isn't it so nice to have something with a consistent tone in the MCU?
Interesting that it would have its own sort of weird area. But also, Thor had that as well. But then it went too far in there.
Far into it. But this trailer seems to have a lot of heart in it. Look, we're saying goodbye to the main cast in this movie. This is the last time they'll all be kind of together as the Guardians. But Rocket Raccoon is dead in this movie, I think.
So dead. But also, it's going to be fucking sad and great. And then halfway through driving home, we'll all be like, I was just crying about a CGI raccoon that I just seen twice.
And we've got, I've not seen the holiday special yet, but we've got Big Groot back as well. And they put the We Are Groot in the trailer this time.
Yes,
then
they
save
did.
It for that seminal moment at the end.
But I don't think it works as well. I think it's better if you just throw it in the trailer as like, oh, that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
There must be, like, if you got thrown that into the trailer, James Gunn's a fucker. Like, he's so underrated in terms of just like getting into deep into like the emotional side of his characters, and I don't think people give him credit for that. Like, I think Rocket is such a deep character for, as I said, a CGI raccoon played by Bradley Cooper.
And he's been that way from the start. Like, there's that scene in the bar where he's just like, I never asked to be made.
Yeah, he's like, he called me rodent. And he's like, I'm a person, leave me alone. Like, I have feelings.
Yeah, it's very strange. And we see, is it Lila is his, like, partner? Or interest kind of thing. Also, there's a bit where they're wearing a bunch of different coloured spacesuits and it looks like Among Us.
Is that why they did it, do you think?
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
probably. I mean, it's kind of a fun thing to throw in.
It is. I hate Groot's new design. I just think it looks like the goofiest. Looks like a mascot costume. I just think it looks so dumb.
Interesting. I was going to ask you, what did you think of bulked up Groot?
He's so wide. Yeah. I like first Groot, original recipe Groot, best Groot. So good.
Or the scene in number two where he's going to get all the things to break them out of prison and he keeps coming back with the wrong shit.
Yeah, also hilarious. But this new, like, he's like, I guess, like a 20-year-old Groot. Like, he's like a young adult kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And don't care for it.
I mean, I've kind of come out and said before, like, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is one of my favourite movies, like, of all time. I just love that movie because I went there with no expectations and I came over going, that's the best movie I've seen in, like, so fucking long. It's such a ridiculous film that shouldn't work, but somehow works, that you kind of just have to respect it. Number two, I think, is a very good movie, but it's so similar to number one, I think it loses ground because people are like, oh, it's the same thing again. but it doesn't have the same magic because it's we've seen it happen before.
That's true. I think the father stuff with Yondu is quite good in the second one.
I agree with that. I think it probably gets a bit more criticism for not being number one, but it can't help the fact that it came second, and it's just it's still really good. It just came second in the sequence. So I'm interested to see the quality of this coming in like number three after a few years off, after Avengers, all that stuff, like Gamora's gone. Where do you go with this?
Yeah, and we see Gamora pop up, so I think she'll have her own like side story in this.
She's also in one of the scenes with all the team, and she's in the back.
Yeah, so I guess reform some of the Guardians, but then some of them dying out left. We also see Adam Warlock in this trailer.
Ooh, Will Poulter playing Adam Warlock is in this, and he's looking real yellow.
Real, yeah, it meant to be gold.
Gold,
yeah.
Gold, we'll give him gold.
He's a golden boy. So, he looks fucking sick as Adam Warlock. Like, he looks the part. Don't know how big of a role he's going to play.
And if I were to see Dopesick, he was fucking gigantic in that series because he was filming a diss when that came out. And he was swole to the max. So
he was a large, large boy.
Which is so weird to think of, like, the guy from We're the Millers. And I'm like, geez, they had him on a fucking serious regiment.
He was at a press conference and he was just like, no, yeah, I genuinely couldn't have done it without everyone like planning my meals and just telling me when to lift things.
they just had a whole team to be like, lift, eat, lift, eat, lift, eat.
Yeah, and so I think, I don't know whether they're setting him up as like a villain or a hero, because he was made by the gold people in Guardians 2 to go and kill the Guardians.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how long that killing the Guardians mission is going to last before he eventually becomes friends with them at the end to fight. I mean, who's the big villain in this?
I don't really. I think it has to be Warlock, just due to the fact that, like, unless what they do is something like he's sent to kill them, and then they go, and then he kind of learns that they're not actually that bad. And then kind of joins with them, and then there's an even bigger villain, but I don't know who. But there has to be a bigger villain, because who's Rocket fighting? Like,
yeah, this
Rocket. It's his maker. The guy who made Rocket is the main villain. I think they're in the movie. You see the person running around in the big circle. That's the lad that Rocket is made in.
Right. Okay. Then. I guess Adam Warlock. Yeah, and him and Rocket would probably bond over being like beings that were created but didn't ask to be born.
Exactly. And so they have this like weird idea of like, we've been given this thing, but we didn't ask for any of this. It's just there. Like, we just have to do it because people told us we had to do it. James Gunn has also come out and said that even though it does have fun and goofy stuff, it's also incredibly emotional as it's the end of the group of the Guardians. And I think, I mean, the bit with Drax and the basketball, I fucking burst out laughing. Perfect Drax moment that, like, this kid's like, oh, ball. And he just picks up, just smashes it off her, and then just bursts out laughing.
And it perfectly undercuts, like, because it's this whole serious thing of, like, we're the defenders, we're the guardians of the galaxy, we gotta go save people. Drax immediately decks
a child. But they're shit. They're shit at their job, and that's always the point.
Yeah, they're well-meaning idiots.
But I think what's important is that I think James Gunn is good at balancing those scenes with the scenes later on. When it gets to the fucking nitty gritty in the last 20 minutes, I think we're going to have a lot of tears and a lot of emotion. And up until that point, you might have quips, you might have jokes, but when it's serious time, he's ready to go. And I do truly believe there's going to be coming out of this going, fuck, that was good. That was really emotional.
Yeah, so what is it then? It's Quantumania and then Guardians, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think Quantumania is March, February or March. And then this is May 5th.
Okay, good to know.
And I don't think this is connected to, like, it's as the Guardians always are, where they're connected but they're not connected.
Like, they're in the same universe but they're so far away from everything.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah, they might run into some of the Eternals at the end who went off into space.
True.
That's something that could happen.
And you think Barry will say, how are you, lads?
Oh, Jesus, I hope so.
Oh, I really fucking hope so. Oh, big Irish head on you. I fucking hope so. I watched this trailer. I was like, you have me. Like, I'm all in. Let's go on this journey. It's been a great trilogy. I really hope they don't drop the ball. Like, I think the first two are so good. First one is amazing. Second one is really good. I hope this third one goes back to amazing.
Yeah, or is at least really good.
Yeah.
We've also been waiting ages for this. This is meant to come out a couple of years ago before all the firing and hiring of James Gunn happened.
Mm. And I think with DC coming on, like, now he's head of DC, I think there's this really cool thing where he could, like, come back to Marvel, just kill it with, like, the best movie ever. And go, okay, I'm going to go lead DC now. Sorry, bye.
Yeah. Have fun with, I don't know, Thor 5 or whatever.
What are you doing? Phase 5's not going very well. Ah, well, that's too bad. I'm over in DC now. I mean, I don't really have anything else to cover. I mean, Adam Warlock was pretty big. I love Will Poulter just getting a chance to be in one of these big movies and see what he can produce.
Yeah, and it's also, like, from a character point of view, Adam Warlock is wild to just, like, you know, introduced to the general public.
Yeah.
Like, he's this weird, like, metaphysical commentary of a man.
But I mean, Mantis is on the fucking team. So, like, you can do, like, anything,
pretty
really.
Pretty much whatever.
Yeah. Do you see Gamora? This is now Gamora from a Guardians 1. So,
yes.
This is Guardians 1 Gamora, 5 years in, still with Thanos and then left.
Yeah. But also doesn't, like, she never liked Thanos in the first place, but the main thing is that she didn't go on the adventures with the Guardians. So she hasn't grown with them as a team and as a family.
Yeah, okay. So
do you think they fast-track that, or that she's just like, she comes along, then most of the team dies or leaves, and she becomes the leader of the new Guardians?
I can see it that, like, we're not, I don't think we're going to get a romantic relationship or anything like that. I think it's going to be just, if she gets even back to liking, like, the whole team, I think that's, like, that's a major step. I think she's going to be on the outskirts, and then Nebula will drag her back in. Like, Nebula being there is the main thing that will bring her back.
And do you, do you think Quill is going to die, or he gets to go off and live in the sunset somewhere?
Oh, I could see James Gunn doing something filthy where, like, he goes back to the hospital where his mother died. He gets dropped back off on Earth, and then he goes in there, and then he dies in that bed listening to music on the fucking headphones.
Dude.
Something fucking weird. Like, that's
harsh.
Pure James Gunn to, like, gets dropped back off, like, in that field where he got picked up. And tries to make it, like, they're like, oh, Quill's about to die. Stop off in the nearest planet. It's Earth. They stop off I know the hospital to go to. They go to that one. That's where he dies.
Yeah, because Kraglin would know.
He's
also on the ship at the time. Oh, that would be filthy. Oh, it would kind of be really, really good, though, as well.
I could see him dying. I think it would be nice. I think that character's run, like, all of its course. I think all of these characters have, and I think everyone knows that in terms of, like, it's not
you've
that we're sick of them, but it's the perfect arcs. Let's just finish it out perfectly.
Yeah, and then maybe bring them back for, like, a Secret Wars or something.
Once their arcs are finished, they can come back and just be, like, cameos in other things. Like, it doesn't matter at that stage.
Yeah, they could be, like, the veterans or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's it for this week's movie news, Sean.
What a week. Would you like me to take us out, Connor?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Movie Mondays. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News, Friday with Hero Zero, and next Monday with another Movie Mondays. Big shout-outs to everyone over on Patreon who continues to support the show. So, some of the people will be joining us for the Patreon and listener hangout chat that we're having on the 10th. That's the Saturday, and it's at 1:15, is it?
It's 1:15 until 3 o'clock.
Until 3 o'clock. Perfect. So if you want to be a part of that, send us a message on any of the social medias. We'll send that invite out. Shoutouts, of course, go to Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Technically Fine Evanson, Waffles the Magic, David Clark, Sean Chuck It in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jameson, Dominic, Anna Irish Wallers Forever Hale Roos, Danny McLaughlin, No One's Ever Really Gone, Luke Hoth, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Buster, Ed Ball, Sean, Connor and Lorraine have shortened this Patreon nickname, and Russ, don't worry Sean, you spoke, I listened, and I've made this part of my name a very sensible length. I hope you're okay with that. Thank you. all of you equally for the continued support. Yeah. You're absolutely wonderful people. Head on over to patreon.com/heresforhirepodcast if you want to join us over there. Merch store is heresforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @heresforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is heresforhirepodcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Neill.
I shall see y'all next week, guys.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.